Welcome back to another episode of Four Insight. I am your host, Mike Obi. Another collab edition in store for you guys this week. Joining me is someone who does life coaching, essentially. And, you know, we just have some great content for you guys this week. Without further ado, Claudia Gottselman, how are you?
Hi, I'm very excited to be here and to be with your listeners to have a great conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on today. So where I like to begin always is just give people a little bit of background to who they're listening to. We've talked before today, and you told me you do some midlife coaching, but just go into, for the listeners, a little bit of what you do.
The midlife coaching?
Yes.
Well, I work with women in the middle of their life. I decided that I want to be a midlife coach because I'm in the middle of my life and my experience, what I went through, I learned some gifts and tools and I want to share them forward. And I think it's essential to take on your, I think we all struggle actually in the middle of our life at most. There's a lot of struggle of restructuring. And that's when we need these tools to step in and show up in a new way.
All right. Very good. Yeah. That being able to pass down nuggets and being able to help people is very important. And, you know, it's a great thing that you're doing. Now, you also talked about how you're certified in the end of doula. For people who don't know what that is, talk about that.
So end of life doula, it's fairly new education. I think it's actually taking off in the US quite a bit. And, you know, there's birthing doula, we're all very familiar with this, but now there is at the end of life also a doula. Basically, if I work with people end of life, they would hire me maybe 3, 6, 9 months prior before their end of life, or maybe they get sick or they have some, make some planning. And then, so we work together about talking about how they want to pass from form to formless. And it really involves everything. It comes, you know, the legacy, how, if they want to have a party at the end, if they, the way they want to be dressed, if they want to have some oils, if there's anything to sort out, maybe meant relationships. And so at the end, when you really are you arriving, then you have a plan, you can be in peace and you can just let it all go. Well, and so now since I explained the end of life, so you wonder probably how did the midlife coaching come into this?
Absolutely.
We're going to the end of life and now in the middle of the life. But so I learned all these tools, and then I felt that I don't want to really work at the end of life. It's not my calling yet. But what I learned is so profound and so essential to take to the very right now, the very here and now, and apply these tools. Because I think often it's really too late at the end of life when we start thinking about these things. I think the most heart-wrenching things, you know, I hear or you hear or everybody hears, what people say is like, I wished I would have, mend my relationship, or I wish I would have lived a better life, a different life, traveled more, whatever you name it. So I wanted to use these tools and apply it to the middle of the life. And that's sort of my key strategy.
No, that's, yeah, absolutely. Because I think, like you just mentioned, you know, we live in this hamster wheel type of lifestyle and culture where everything is about the next thing, the next obstacle. What are we doing next? And people really don't live in the present moment, right? And so then they go through life, they navigate it, they get to what's called the midlife crisis, so to speak. And also, you know, they get towards the end of their life and then they look back and it's like, man, I was all work, but I really didn't enjoy anything. And I think, you know, with last year, us having COVID and the whole pandemic, people really were starting to come to grips with their own vulnerability, their own mortality in terms of, man, tomorrow is not promised. I need to really appreciate life and every day that I'm given, because, you know, we never know what can happen.
So much. Yes, exactly what you're saying. I think, you know, when everything goes smooth, we don't think about that, the end.
Yeah,
but there's no guarantee
for sure. So now transitioning, talk about what are the tools that you implement in your work that you were alluding to?
The tools, We, you know, so when somebody, let's say, I'm going to give a little example, comes to me, and usually, you know, maybe you have already had a beautiful job, maybe you have your children, maybe they're already doing their own thing, and you sort of have this nudge, and you feel there's more, but I don't know what it is. I fall into this routine, and there must be something else to my life, right? So a lot of people, or let's say women, don't, you know, it's normal. We don't have the language. We don't even know what's going on inside of us because we have been on such a trajectory of going forward, which was, you know, what we believed in. So then we would stop and we would start thinking about what, you know, how can we give words to these this tight knots in our belly, let's say. And then we so we take it apart and we would say, wow, you know, what are my dreams? What really makes me happy? What makes me fulfilled? What is it I really want to do? How do I want to make my life better? Do I actually need another car, or is it maybe I rather need to take attention or mend my relationship? So we, you know, we talk about it, really go in, make a lot of lists and write it down, and then know what the obstacles are, and while we go and then go and approach it step by step by step and go and get you where you actually think you want to be.
Wow, that's great. Now, I do have a question though. What, how often when you're working with women, is a bit of their kind of I don't want to say resentment, but one thing that they notice is that they didn't choose the right path, whether it be career or marriage or anything. Like they didn't choose it in the beginning. They may have thought of it one way and then they realized later that that wasn't what they wanted. How often does that happen?
Think that happens to all of us. know, I think it's just that journey we're on, right? We buy into this idea, let's say when we're maybe in our late 20s or 30s, and then we get on this sort of path, and then we're on it. And often there's no time to question because you put your head down and you get busy and you get so absorbed into this idea where you're going. And suddenly you're like, wow. Did I really actually want to go down that road? And what, or what happened to my partner? And then, you know, this is so, I mean, this has becomes a much bigger issue, but how can we grow together in a marriage or in a long-term relationship? Maybe you really want to go down that career path, and maybe your partner is like making a 180 and be like, I'm out.
Man.
And
Yeah, and life happens fast. I mean, you go from one day you're in high school, then boom, you're in college, and boom, you're out, and you start your career. And, you know, there really, as you alluded to, there's no time to second guess anything or to think back. For those who do get the opportunity to maybe get, make the shift, I mean, they're fortunate, but for many people, unfortunately, they get on a path and they're down it. And by the time they may have come to the realization that, this isn't what I wanted, a lot of time has passed and you can't get time back. So it's very important that people at least find that time to come to the realization that this is what I wanted to do. Or if not, then we make the necessary changes, especially for young women and women in general.
right. I think it's essential just to keep checking in with yourself because we change all the time, right? Everything is changing. I mean, we see it right now. So much has changed overnight. If we would have known this a year ago, people would be like, whatever. You know, it's not true. And now we're 1 year in, right? And it's become the new norm. And so now we're really almost, it just changes almost forced to us. But it's the key is I need to always check in, like, am I true with myself? Am I authentic to myself? You know, what is it I actually want? What brings me joy? And I think when we check in and ground and really like, yeah, this is, you know, today, this is really what I want to do, and really be honest with ourselves, even if the truth is not what we thought it is. But then also really are checking in and like, yeah, I need to make these changes, and then have the courage and really say, what is, how does a change really look like? It doesn't mean that our entire life needs to fall apart. Sometimes it's just a little bit of reframing. Maybe it's even just an attitude change,
Yeah, absolutely.
you know, and then it's already much better.
So before we go on to the next thing, I have one more thing I'm curious about. What is it, or what factor of women's lives is it that you noticed that they really feel like they needed to tweak or they wanted to tweak when you're working with them?
I think it's soul work, the inner like feeling fulfilled. I think that's the if you ask, if I understand you right, that's
that void that they're missing.
The void, yeah. Because, you know, it's so fascinating. We can only live so much on our external, but everything really comes from our internal. And I said this before, the more we know ourselves and know who we truly are, then we can, you know, go outward and implement these changes.
Very good. Now, when we were speaking off camera, you talked about that what you do gives women, especially, the tools that they need and the ability to live the fulfilled life that they're longing for. So talk about what are the tools and what do you think it is that you give women that helps them in their lives?
My goal is to really give empowerment. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us, we're so hard on ourselves, and I don't want to exclude the men. You know, we're just all humans, right? Well, it Absolutely. Happens to all of us. But I think there is still, and I can foremost speak for women because, you know, this is my own experience. Mm. But there's so much external pressure, and there's with social media, we have to look a certain way, we have to perform a certain way, and then aging is actually a really fascinating topic. Mm-hmm. And so if we can stand in our own own power, then the beauty really comes from the inside out, and we glow, and then it's like, you know, courage, it's bravery, it's self-confidence, and that will show. And I think this to me is the key, and if I can help somebody to really stand in that and because of that, live a more fulfilled life and or go after the dreams, then my job is done.
No, absolutely. It's wonderful. And, you know, I can speak for the men, you know, in terms of why a big reason why I started this podcast was because I felt like I had learned a lot of lessons too late, or at least, you know, it took a little while before I really was able to have that moment. And so I think a lot of it is not knowing or not having the background, not having the insight, right, that was needed for them, meaning people in general, men or women, to make the decisions that they wanted, right? And, you know, there's a lot of power in kind of engaging with people and seeing their experiences and being able to reflect on your own, right? And so then I was like, okay, well, let's create a medium where people can all come together, we can all learn, and we can all become better versions of ourselves. Because in the end, I think everyone wants to be fulfilled, right? And wants to look back and say, I lived a good life, I lived a happy life, and I did it my way. And, you know, not the way that was bestowed on me or told that I should be this way, right? And so then, okay, what does it look like? I'm aware, I'm knowledgeable about what it is I'm getting myself into. And with that, I have more certainty as far as the path that I decide to go down.
Yeah, and also I want to add, this is, you know, amazing that you are doing this because you are building a community. And I think right now, because of COVID, more than ever, everything is so much is stripped away from our lives, right? And what is left? That's relationship and community.
Absolutely.
And through community, we can really also heal ourselves. We can share, we feel safe. And so let's say also if I heal myself and I bring my energy back into the community, I heal the community. But if the community comes together and can hold one another, then the community heals and that will affect me. And then I am actually a better person.
Absolutely. Yeah. If there's anything that I've learned with doing this, as long as I have, is that, you know, the value of having a strong community, a strong base, a strong support system is immeasurable, right? The fact that everyone's trying to work and network and connect and try to help one another, that only just builds a strong and resilient person, right? And I think that everybody can provide something, right? That's why I'm really big on not looking at, okay, I'm trying to make this person who I interview conform to whatever my mission is. I try to learn from them and I try to pick their brain and let them tell their story, because everybody mm-hmm. has knowledge and insight to give.
Yeah, and you know, it's like we're all in this. You know, I'm right now in Germany and I experience exactly the same thing as you and your listeners, and you know, we're all like in so knee deep into this because for long, right? We feel lonely, we feel misplaced or, you know, isolated. But it doesn't matter, you know, what culture, whatever, you know, I live, wherever I live in the world, we all feel the same thing. And as long as we have this community around us or our family and relationships, then, you know, that's really what holds us, keeps us sane.
Absolutely,
I would say.
For sure. So now going on to the next thing, you know, talk about what habits that the people you work with, they have to implement, or what are the tools that, and how do they implement them into their lives?
Well, yeah, you said the magic word, habit.
Yes.
Yeah, it starts with habit. It starts with habit building. And I think we need to start little. We need to start on very small scale, because if we, you know, set out and we're like, I'm going to change everything, then it's probably pretty guaranteed that we fail because we overwhelm ourselves. So if we start little, and for instance, you know, how do we get to know our inner being? How do we know what our inner voices actually tell us? Because often it's just this naughty feeling, but we don't even know what it means. Like, I don't feel good. I don't feel happy. So how can we find out what that really means? So for instance, we can start a morning habit, how we start our day. And, you know, I think most of us have the phone next to us. And, you know, it's probably not the best idea because we go from the deep sleep right away into
mental
on the phone and being distracted, right?
Exactly.
And I think it's so important to take like 5 minutes, 3 minutes and just wake up and be, you know, wow, thank you for, you know, me being here, and today it's going to be an amazing day, and I hold myself in love, and I'm going to make this an outstanding day, and I'm grateful, and I see the abundance which is around me. And just saying these few little mantras, mm-hmm. but saying it and feeling the vibration of your voice, there is something so powerful. It's such an encouragement. It grounds us. And then when we get up and whatever happens next, right after we get up, I think that it's really, you feel stronger.
Absolutely. That mental predisposition that you start every day with, if you wake up and as soon as you get up, you check social media, you check, you know, whatever it is on your phone that you are, you know, naturally, that's just the habit that has been built, right? It's to stimulate our brain first thing we wake up. Instead of that, you change it. And okay, let's just show gratitude for a few minutes, just the fact that I'm able to get up and I have an opportunity, right? And then from there, you know, you started the day off on the right foot, and you can kind of approach the day with a better mindset and a better mental space in terms of, oh, I saw something, maybe it was bad news, or maybe I saw something that I didn't like on social media. Now your day is sort of ruined before it even begins. So definitely,
right.
I think that's a great point. So now talk about, I talked about this word and this phrase before, the whole midlife crisis. What do you think of when you hear that, when you hear that term used? And I mean, is it something that's real? Is it something that, I hate it when people use it? Or what is your whole perception of that term?
I don't know. You know, crisis is already, it's a negative word, right?
Yes.
So by saying I'm in a crisis, I'm already in a crisis.
Yeah.
It's just a self-manifestation. But maybe if we, you know, I'm all about reframing, because there's not just one way of looking at things. Sometimes we just move over to the left or to the right a little bit and suddenly everything looks different.
Exactly.
So maybe I feel that there's this void, but maybe I'm not happy. But then if I really think about it, it's like, wow, this is an incredible opportunity. I am gifted right now. I'm the universe, or by whatever you want to call it, right? Your life. To assess myself again and be like, who do I want to be? Who do I need to be? And how do I change my life? And then if we can take this and really apply again the end of life question, what would you do if you would have 1 week or 3 weeks to live? Who would you want to be? You take all these whatever obstacles away of job, and it's just this, you know, and then you really think about it and you meditate on it. and you write it out, I think that will give you a clear answer about the change you really want to implement. And then it's not a crisis anymore. Then it's just this incredible opportunity.
Absolutely. Reframing, and you know, it doesn't have to be the most drastic of changes, but that little tweak can be a big difference for sure. Now, you know, talk about how COVID and this whole pandemic has really had to have an effect on your work, because I think everybody's had to make the adjustment. So talk about what that has looked like.
Well, you know, here we are on Zoom. And which, you know, is incredible that I'm so grateful that we have these applications, that we can have these conversations. And so, yes, I, you know, same thing with my clients. Mm-hmm. But also with that comes a whole new challenge, because now we're, yes, we see each other, but we're not really in the space, we're removed. And then I've really recently thought about this a lot, because we spend so much time on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And when we, you know, when I would sit across from you on the table, I wouldn't see myself. So I wouldn't be like, oh, my hair looks a little bit messy. Yeah, but we get so distracted by also looking at ourselves. Become so, yeah, it becomes, I wonder sometimes, do we have the ability to completely really absorb and be in the conversation because of the distraction of the video?
Yeah, your external surroundings really not enabling you to lock in on what you're trying to do, the task. And, you know, I've noticed even with working, and most people who I know who work remotely, there's a bit of an adjustment period. You know, it all sounds good, like, oh, I get to work from home and I get to do what I want and in the comfort of my home. But then it's very easy to, I'm gonna slack off, or I'll get to it later. So there's a bit of an adjustment period of, okay, I need to really focus, I need to be disciplined, I need to build those habits, as you alluded to. And then once you get to that, I mean, all of it is just habit building and really adapting. But for sure, you know, just being able to readjust your mind and really lock in on what you're trying to get accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, I want to add something to this, because like I started implementing a few also like habits for these conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, we're starting out, let's say, with a short meditation where we see each other. Mm-hmm. And then if we agree, then we turn off the video. And then, because our senses are really just the hearing, mm-hmm. and we're not distracted, and then at the end, at the end of the session, we can come back and check in with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I feel that that really helps in my case, where we really need to be present, because we don't have just, you know, it's not a business meeting where we attend and take a few notes, but we really need to be present and go inward and inquire, right? So all my clients get the most out of this.
No, yeah, that's a really good practice. I've never heard that before, but it really does make people, you know, kind of engage in their senses and really, you know, be fully present in what they're trying to do when they have a session with you. So I think that's really a great practice and a real, you know, hidden gem that can kind of help people really unlock what they need to. So final couple of points, you know, you've alluded to all of this about, you know, working together, connecting with people. And we talked about how we're all in this together. Talk about how you've really been able to see that as you've been able to work over this time that you've been in the space.
Well, so, I mean, because of Zoom or whatever app we're using, right? So I can still do my work, but I'm really looking forward also to be in a real space with somebody again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so then wrapping up, what would be, I always ask every guest this question, what would be your final gem, your final word of advice to any woman or any person in general who maybe is getting, and they're navigating their life, they're getting towards the middle, and maybe they are kind of frustrated, they're not sure, maybe they do want to make a mental adjustment. What would be your final advice to them when it comes to that point?
Whatever your dreams are, just go for it. Don't hold back. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a, you know, again, we were like, oh, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to compromise. I'm going to do this. And I'm not saying that anybody should be frivolous or should, you know, make this, you know, uproot and move to another country because this is the big dream. But there's a lot of things I think we can do and we want to do, but we deny those things until a later point in our life. But this later day may actually never come. And then when we're later, then there might be a whole other set of dreams or desires, you know, we want to live. So I think it's just really go for it. When the now, why not now? If not now, when, right?
Absolutely. No, it's great. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of For Insight. I would like to thank our guest, Claudia Goldsamen, for coming on today. Now tell everyone where they can find you in terms of getting connected.
Best probably Instagram. It's Permission to Bloom. I think it's probably in the show notes, yes. But it's permission_to_bloom. And then that also is my website, Permission to Bloom Coaching.
All right. Thank you so much again for coming on. Everybody, you can catch this episode on all Anchor, Spotify, and YouTube, and all other platforms streaming podcasts. Thank you.